Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Oh my gosh, it's happening. Jackie Cation here. I am in my, the guest room now. Sad. My mother-in-law's passed. But it is, we still got our cat. A cat's around here somewhere. Yep, whatever. And the dogs. All right. I've weeded off almost immediately. Patrick Hobart, welcome to the show. Stand-up comic, Patrick Hobart, Brooklyn comic. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I'm honored. It's been great to see you and the cat. I was looking at your cat. It's so strange that we can do all this online now because I signed on to this platform that you use.
Right.
All of a sudden, I'm looking in your home. Like, I've heard you reference this home. I've heard you talk about the animals. And now I'm looking at one of your animals. I'm like, what? I'm not allowed to be here. I shouldn't be here.
There we go. We'll just we'll lean a little bit. Go to the YouTube channel. Feel free to like and subscribe, as the kids say.
Yeah.
But Patrick Hobart, stand-up comic, you have a new album and special coming out this month of April 2025. Thank you very much. It's going to be called Qualification, and it's going to be on Apple TV and Amazon April 27th, and the audio should be out around that time. Everybody, feel free to buy it.
I don't know if I said 27th. It's the 22nd, or I don't know if 22nd. Said 22nd. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It's weird because I shot it on April 27th last year.
Oh, weird.
And I actually finished editing it by like June, and I kind of wish I just put it out.
Right.
But I went through the routes, and miraculously somebody said, oh, yeah, we'll take it.
Oh, good.
So
who took it?
I don't know.
Was it Comedy Dynamics?
Yes. Yeah. Which I believe they will.
Pardon my tone.
It's fine. It's fine. I hope this goes well and it introduces me to an audience, and then I don't ever put anything out with anybody ever again. I just do it on my own, you know?
Right. Right.
So we'll see.
Sure. It's super fun. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but
I love
just
how much subtext is in super fun.
Super fun. And me naming it. I can't even say the name of the company without having sort of a flattening of my voice.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they're perfectly nice people. In other news,
and
every
honestly,
contract,
I haven't even met them. It all happened through Jack Vaughn, who used to work for them, from what I understand. And he's been
Jack
great.
Jack Vaughn, he's the serious guy.
Right.
He didn't work for them, did he?
He did in the past. I don't know. I don't want to speak too far out of school, but he has other businesses from what I understand.
Right, right. They are dipped in everything and they can get you showing and in a lot of different platforms. So that's neat. Let's leave it at that. Let's say that excitingly enough, Qualification April 22nd, Apple TV, Amazon, and then the audio is going to be everywhere. And hopefully Jack Vaughn likes it because he is in charge of comedy at SiriusXM.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you for plugging that. I appreciate it.
No sweat. Easy enough. So Your Dorkdom, though, is a TV show I've heard of, and I've never seen it. Is it
TLC? As a road dog, as a person who's in hotel rooms all the time. It's just one click past Forensic Files. You go a little bit further north.
I'm just shy of that, watching Bones and NCIS and Castle. Just reruns. Hardcore. All right, so I've never actually watched Law and Order.
Interesting.
Yeah, Forensic Files and Law and Order, a little too tense for me.
Yes. Well, that's my big pitch for How It's Made. Where we are in 2025, we all need How It's Made. It's essentially visual ASMR. I think we've all learned what ASMR is by now.
Sure. Sound thing, right?
Yeah, and well, now they do it visually too. Like if you ever see like a TikTok video where it's just like a knife cutting up like Play-Doh in perfect little organized rows, or you know, sand or whatever. It's these very like appealing, visually stimulating segments, and it's so good for you. And I mean, it sounds like you're more of into a narrative TV show with the content you're watching in hotel rooms.
Well, the non-narrative that I watch are things like Test Kitchen and Diners, Dives, and Drive-Through thing,
right?
And because there's just a dozen hours. Is How It's Made a half an hour? Is it a half hour show?
It's a half hour show, but each episode has like 3 to 4 segments, so they're bite sized. And this is, it's not pre-internet, but it's pre-YouTube, but now all their shows are on YouTube. So like it's made for people that are just flipping channels. And I think I discovered it probably in the mid-aughts, probably around 2008 or 9 or something like that.
Right, just sitting in a hotel room.
Yeah, just clicking through channels and it lands and your brain is immediately like, oh, I like the way that looks. And then there's a narrator. And I guess I'll set up what it is. So How It's Made is it's essentially a documentary TV show of things being manufactured. And it's oftentimes beautiful B-roll shot with really high quality cameras on assembly lines or with artisans making things or, stuff being machined, you know, not. There's never like a person on screen. There's no presenter. There's nobody on screen saying, now I'm going to take the dough and put it in the oven. It's all narration and just beautiful B-roll.
And long shots with beautiful camera work.
Exactly. And everything's perfectly lit.
What channel is it on?
In the States, it's on Discovery, which I don't even know if it exists anymore. It's whatever Discovery was. But it's also on the Science Channel in the UK. And this is interesting to mention because you can find YouTube segments of any one that you want to watch. And if you watch the Science Channel version, you get the beautiful British narrator taking you through. And then if you watch the one from the States, you hear just like an American, like, what is that? What is that one they call it? American Standard or whatever? Like the Ohio?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, right. Just a Midwestern kind of,
Every man, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Just talking about. And they're just 10, 12 minute segments and there's 3 of them.
I think even less. They're like 6 minutes because with commercials, it's 23 minutes.
Oh, right.
So yeah, I guess there's 4 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's an example of one you really liked?
So I mean, so many have been amazing. I did want to say one more thing about the segments. Because while I was compiling my list of my favorite episodes, I was reminded that they don't have a huge budget, so they use a lot of the same royalty-free music throughout. And I was reminded that I actually have favorite tracks now from the How It's Made catalog, where I'm like, oh, I like this jazzy bop on this segment about candy canes or whatever. But
I have seen the candy cane. That does actually sound familiar.
Oh, it's so good. The candy canes are such an amazing thing. And I will say I've gone down the rabbit hole of candy manufacturing on Instagram because I think there's better versions of how people make these incredible things because the way they make candy canes is like with these huge, massive piles of like sugar and corn syrup, and the way they manipulate
red dye and
yeah, and when they manipulate this stuff, the how it's made version, it's all machines. It's these like massive machines like turning the. I don't even know if you'd call it dough.
Mixing it? Mixing the sugar and water or whatever and corn syrup like, or yeah.
Yeah. And then they make this huge gummy pile of the stuff. And then that's got to get like stretched and aerated. And it's like hours and hours of work. But there are versions of seeing people do this where it's just two dudes just like wrestling with this stuff for like a day. And then the way they make like. Some candy canes, if the cross section, if you break it, it'll have like a little smiley face or a Christmas tree inside or whatever. What? And yeah, they do that by, while it's in its big form, they make the image, like let's say a 10-inch vert, like they've got like a 10-inch log of this stuff, right? And they stack these layers in a way that creates a picture. So if you picture a cross section of a Christmas tree, it's like this big.
Right.
But then they stretch that log for... I don't know, a mile or whatever. Right. So it's so tiny, and because it's stretched, it just
it
retains
makes it
the
smaller
shape of
and
the tree.
The pixelation doesn't go away. It's
exactly.
still a tree.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's a purely organic fractal of the bigger thing. Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing. And so the How It's Made segment is quite just like it's amazing to see these. I also like the contrast. It's like you've got these incredibly industrial, dangerous machines. These things are like massive. It looks like an auto workers line. You know, it's
okay.
Like if I saw those machines, I wouldn't know that they were making candy for the holidays with them.
Right.
You know.
Right. And if you got caught into it, you might get crushed or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that one's fascinating for those reasons.
When do they add the red dye? Do they do it after they've stretched it?
Early on. No, okay. because they'll have, you know, it'll be when they make that first log, it's like a big loaf at first. It'll be a big hunk of white and then on top of a big hunk of red. And then that gets stretched and then eventually twisted. And that's how you get your perfect twisting.
That's, you know what? It actually just sounds soothing.
Yes. And that's my argument for this. It's like, because I will admit, I also have probably seen every episode of Forensic Files. I just have like a morbid curiosity.
Yeah, yeah. I got lighter murder that's happening over two channels over at the USA channel.
Right. And I think I'm just, I remember when Breaking Bad ended and I thought, this is too much violence in my life. I don't think I need to like consciously take less of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think How It's Made scratches some itch and it's just, I don't know. It does the job. It like, it's very, soothing is the word.
It's just a little mesmerizing, a little bit where you can just sort of lie there and play a video game on my phone, I bet, and then look up and go, oh my gosh, they're making paper airplanes or whatever. I mean, what's another one?
So what you got me thinking now is like, I found one that I remember liking the first time I saw it, and I think I've gotten the reason why I like it. There's one where it's how they make boxes of matches. Like, you know, like a fancy box with the wooden loose matches inside.
Yeah, and you slide it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not a match book. Okay.
Yeah. A match box. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, it's wherever they shot this. It's not in this country. It's not OSHA certified. Like it is so rickety and dangerous looking. Like it's hard to not watch this
fire. Yeah.
Yeah. But the machinery itself, it's got like bike chains involved. The paint job on the machinery itself is like 40 years old.
Right.
It looks just so dangerous. And it's hard to not watch it and think of all the just limbs lopping off or fingers that will never be able to light a match.
You're like, oh no, oh no. I hope. And then of course they clean it up because it's just a 12 minute segment.
Right.
So they can go, no, it always works.
Yeah. Well, and, part of that segment is they get into how they die cut these pieces of cardboard perfectly to then be folded perfectly into the drawer that like works as the box. And it's, that's its own thing. It's like amazing how they can manipulate cardboard at that rate. I mean, they're making literally 1,000 of those boxes a minute, I think, is the output.
That's the crazy thing. Yo, go ahead.
So anyway, one of the first shots is you see the paper being drawn into the machinery. It's actually getting pulled under a consumer level iron, like you would use to iron your jeans. That's just basically duct taped in the right spot so that the cardboard gets dried out to the right level.
Yeah.
So it just felt very, watching it last night felt very anti how it's made. I was just like, I can't believe this one is even in the series because it just seems too janky.
Right. Because it's usually super professional looking.
Yeah.
Everything's shiny. And you're like, and then they make a million of them. Yeah. And with that, it looked like, and then they make 1,000 of them. And it takes a week. Because I think about machinery and the way factory machines were even invented, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can't even do origami. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to create a just arms and different machines that'll push against a thing so that you can make a floor of a box and a side and then another one that comes in and another one that comes in. And then all of a sudden there's glue.
Yeah.
Where's the. Yeah. Yeah.
And the glue has its own temperature. It needs to be kept at. And you're making me think that there are episodes about how it's made. Machinery, like assembly line machinery, how that's made, like robot arms.
Yeah,
there's one about those crazy Japanese robot arms that like weld like 10 spots in a second.
Right.
Which is all crazy. Like the relationship of hardware to software for these industries is so impressive. It's like there are people who go to Carnegie Mellon or whatever and learn how to manipulate code to get a car to be built with zero human hands. It's really
just somebody looking at a screen to make sure that it's all working. And then, but different arms and different machines just kind of, and it's got to cut down. I mean, I know that there was a big thing about how it cut into jobs and all this stuff, but it also cut into people losing thumbs.
Yes.
So I think,
or worse, another visual thing I find myself attracted to on my Instagram algorithm is woodworking videos. And I think it's because the algorithm has learned that I like how it's made or I like looking at things like this. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of woodworking and a lot of lathe videos. Do you know what a lathe is?
I almost do. What is a lathe?
So you've seen it. It's a machine that's got two pins on two sides and they'll put a block of wood in the middle. And it'll spin that block of wood, and they'll carve like a banister, a spindle out of it. Baseball bats get made on lathes.
Okay. But it can become wider and thinner, kind of.
Yeah,
thing?
Like they can they when it starts as like a rectangle of wood, an artisan will use a chisel with like a guide, and they'll like perfectly carve as this thing is spinning at like I don't know 1,000 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah,
or computers do it. You'll also see lathes with computers and lasers and all that shit. But a lathe, I one night I think I was in a dark place myself. I don't know. I ended up looking at YouTube. It might have been a worse site. It's like lathe accidents. You can find accidents involving lathes, which is are some of the worst like
that's
things.
Less positive. That's not going to be
horrible.
Soothing at all.
No. And that was a big point I wanted to make about how it's made. My wife likes fail videos. Like she'll see somebody falling off a skateboard and she'll be like, oh, watch this. And it does something to me. It like raises.
Yeah, it's heartbreak.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it's cortisol. Is it cortisol, the stress hormone? Like,
I don't know.
I can feel that go up. Right.
Yeah.
And how it's made is the anti-fail video. The job always gets done. There's order. No one's getting hurt in these videos. I'm sure these machines have really mutilated.
Failed. Sure. Yes. I'm sure they've failed any number of times. I don't need to see that video.
Right.
How about you show me how you're making 30,000 candy canes a night? I want to see that. And then it goes into a piece of plastic. Yeah. Yeah. That's good times. All right.
Or even more delightful, you can watch the episode where they make ice cream sandwiches. And what is more like soothing? It taps into so many things. It's like my adult male need for machinery, but then my little boy desire for ice cream. It's like,
and then at the end of it, ice cream sandwich. And you're like, this was great.
Yes. and it's just crazy how fast they make those things. And I also,
and what's in it? Do you ever sort of look at the ingredients and go, wow, there's not an actual food stuff happening here. It's all microplastics.
Oh yeah. And they have a lot of food segments about stuff we use every day, like different types of crackers or like, and to see these products when they're in their slurry phase is horrifying. Like to see a vat of just like beige.
Maybe that's what the part that your wife would like. Just going, wow, we're going to eat that.
Yeah.
And I saw a Jamie Oliver. He's a chef, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he had a show, very brief, where it was trying to get Americans to eat better. Uh-huh. And so he had a pile of kids, like 6-8 kids. And he was like, do you guys like chicken McNuggets? And they're like, yeah, we're children. We love chicken McNuggets. And he was like, do you want to see what's really in them?
Oh,
and what he did was he cut up a chicken and he just used all the garbage, right? Like just the bones and the back and all the gross stuff. And he blended it all up. But he's Jamie Oliver. So he blends it up and he makes it into this weird paste. And then he breads it and then he cooks it and they look perfect.
Yeah.
So by the time he's done, the children have forgotten. Right. That they were made out of the backs of chickens or all bones and cartilage. And he's like, see, would you want that? Or would you want this piece of chicken that I also made? And they're like, the chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just because that's on him for making them look right.
I mean, he probably salted it perfectly, put the right amount of garlic salt in there. Like,
He nailed it. He could have invented them. And and I'm sure that they were, and to have broken down an actual chicken and made it, they were probably actually much healthier than an actual chicken McNugget made. Do they ever make those, like frozen foods?
They do, yeah. And I don't know if they get into this because it's a little negative, but my hang up with that is, because we have a nearly 5-year-old, we do have to resort to fast food sometimes just to keep the ship afloat in a day, you know? It's hard for me to not eat a chicken nugget and remark out loud, like, how many chickens are in this nugget? And that will turn me into a vegan eventually when I come around.
It's a bummer. It's a buzzkill.
Yeah, I just hate to think they could probably do, a scientist could probably sort out, like, are there
DNA of 200 different
chickens? Yeah. Like, are they just chucking them all in a thing? Like, I want to know, but I don't want to know. And yeah, how it's made does show that stuff. But I think like some of these corporations are so powerful, they don't even need a TV show like this. So it's always like C-level brands, like the ice cream sandwich one. I've never heard of this brand. It might also be British or whatever.
Right. It might be overseas.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of seventh generation? What's the they make the Seventh Day Adventists who make vegetarian chicken nuggets?
No.
They're in the frozen food aisle.
Oh, that's so funny.
I can't remember the name of the company offhand. Someone is currently yelling at their car radio.
North Star or something.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's something like that. I wonder what that's made out of, because I think it's probably just found veg. Because it has to have a certain texture, right? I once did stand up in a vegan restaurant where they made shrimp out of sweet potatoes.
Oh.
And they tasted like shrimp. They looked like shrimp. They were breaded. They had the same texture as shrimp. And I was like, why would you bother? Why don't you just make me a sweet potato and make me want to eat that?
Right, because sweet potatoes are delicious.
Sweet potatoes can be very delicious, and there's absolutely no need for you to pretend it's meat and have it. Although one of my sisters-in-law was raised my niece and nephews, very hippie. She was like, we're gonna do things right. And one of my favorite memories. This got to be 30 years ago when my nephew Paul was like, I don't know, 9 or 10. And we were all in the car. And Paul says to Margaret, "Mom, did you forget to feed me?" And he was like 9. And she goes, "Oh my gosh, I did. We're going to go to McDonald's." And it just went through a drive-thru. And he was like, "Yes."
Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy the brand recognition kids have. Like, she knows what a Dunkin' Donuts is. She knows what a McDonald's is.
Sure.
And it's like,
she's alive.
Really, yeah.
It's, she's walking around.
Yeah.
Is she watching Bluey?
She loves Bluey.
Who
big
doesn't
fan
love
of Bluey?
Bluey?
And I was just talking to somebody about this. We have a friend, like, since we're talking about a TV show, this is somewhat related to what we're talking about.
Oh, I weed off. Yeah.
Yeah. We have friends who are very like, no screens for the kids ever. You can't let them have screens. It melts their brains. My kid is like the mayor of her school. She like knows everybody there. She's like incredibly engaged with others. She's exhausted when she gets home. She has a lot of responsibilities as mayor. So she's tired. And we, like, when I, like, tonight, I cooked dinner while I'm cooking dinner. Actually, she was doing a lot of art making by herself. But maybe after 20 or 30 minutes of that, she said, "Dada, I want to watch my show." She's really into Dino and Cupcake right now. She wanted to watch Dino and Cupcake.
Sure.
And I just don't care. I'm like, I view it as she needs a break. Like, she actually needs to chill out and, like, just... What she needs is How It's Made, but she refuses to watch.
Right. Well, she's got her own story, man. She's got her own story she wants to watch. It's like Bold and the Beautiful for a 5-year-old. So she's got her jam. And okay, so what's a... I'm going to let this dog out. One of the dogs is blind.
Take care of the dog.
Come here. You get it. Go on. Keep moving.
Tyson the dog. We were just talking about chicken nuggets.
Yeah, Tyson Chicken, right? Yeah, he's got the diabetes, and he went he went all blind. But
poor guy.
He's figured it out. He's a little Roomba, and but he has a constant fear of missing out. He is. If I could name the dog today, it would be FOMO.
That's so funny. Wait, so is he as old as the cat?
No, the cat's 18, and Tyson and Gordy, who's our Chihuahua mix. Chris moved in with us and she brought a cat and a dog, Chihuahua mix. Okay. And they're the same age and they look like brothers. The two of them, they're a couple of Chihuahua mixes. So Tyson and Gordy, when I walk them together, I do a bit about how they look like the tiniest Iditarod. Very adorable. That. Very sweet.
That's great.
And
are we going to be okay with the animal? Like, are they all going to leave not at the same time? They'll spread it out a little bit.
They might leave at the same time. My husband and his mother and his father, he's had so many pets that he has buried so many dogs and cats in his life that he's like, it is sad.
Yeah.
And then you think to yourself, I'm never getting another pet. And then 2 years go by and then you get another pet.
He's a grief expert.
He's really good. He's very, very good at the whole thing.
My wife is a postpartum doula, and she has now learned about death doulas.
I just had a death doula on the show. Maybe last week.
Oh, cool. I'll listen. That's so cool.
I didn't know what questions to ask. So
did you bring him on? He's got experience.
He's got experience in grief, but one of my best friends from college. She's a death doula, and she's had so many jobs in her life. Like, she was a massage therapist and taught massage therapy, and then did like cranial blah. Not gonna call it blah blah. Don't know what it's called.
Reiki.
It's very beautiful. It wasn't Reiki. It was like that, but it was cranial something. But she was also a marathon runner.
Wow.
And so she's really good at whatever she chooses to do. And she has decided, and she's always kind of been fascinated with death.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful thing to do. It's like, and with the animal stuff, you know, our dog is 6 or 7. We can't really quite get a number on it, but Yeah. We are bracing ourselves for...
Is he a big dog?
Or
a
no, big she's yeah. small. She's about 25 pounds.
Okay.
She's so like a terrier mix.
She might live another 10 years.
Yeah. And we're just like, sometimes that comes up. Like, I think my daughter actually was getting to that question of how long will we have her? Because she was trying to figure out how old she was and how long did we have her before she was born and all that stuff. And yeah, when that happens, I will watch a ton of How It's Made to self-soothe.
Right, right. Can I recommend America's Test Kitchen?
Oh, that sounds great.
And also Cook's Country. They're both soothing. Yeah,
I love thinking of you watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with...
Guy Fieri.
Yeah, Guy Fieri. That's his name.
Fieri.
I haven't thought of him in years. One of the worst gigs I ever did in my life was in... Playa del Carmen, Mexico, across the street from Guy Fieri's real life restaurant.
Wow.
He's got like this massive restaurant there.
Wow.
But there was a show being billed as comedy in English in Mexico.
Sure.
I was on my honeymoon in Tulum, Mexico, which is a solid hour or more drive away. And like a fucking idiot, I said, hey, if I can get some stage time during my honeymoon, what do you think? We drove there, did a show for three people.
Sure. You got to write Jocelyn, the whole thing off. Yeah.
Oh, Jocelyn Chia was on the show. I don't know if you know Jocelyn.
I don't.
Or she's if I so do, funny.
She's good.
Very funny. She may have retired. She had some like internet drama.
How do you spell her last name?
Chia, like a chia seed.
Okay. C-H-I-A. Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fascinating, like just an amazingly surgical joke writer.
Cool.
And I go up and I bomb. I didn't know how to do a three-person show yet. I was early, you know, whatever. And she goes up and kills. Like she kills with like just being interactive, but also with really bulletproof jokes. And I was just so ashamed that I dragged my new bride to this thing that I just wanted to leave, you know? So after the show, first of all, I didn't know Jocelyn would be there. Like it was a surprise to show up and see another New York comic in Mexico.
Right.
I know we've gone off track. I hope this is okay.
That's great.
So I was just like, first of all, it's crazy that she's here. I'm also intimidated by her because she's so talented. I also haven't cracked the code on our relationship. Like we knew each other pretty well, but we weren't friendly really.
Okay.
And I think she was just like in the zone with her career.
Right.
So anyway, I just wanted to leave afterward. And Jocelyn preferred to stand on the street and ask me joke by joke if I had feedback on her set. And I was too polite to say, I gotta go.
Actually, I'm on my honeymoon.
So we talk about that to this day. Like, how crazy is it that she just like put us through that?
Yeah. It's a classic, you know, you get off stage. It doesn't matter if you did well or you did poorly. You could discuss your set ad nauseum. You're just like, oh, I forgot to do this line, but this one line. And you're like, stop talking. Everyone's done. Everyone's done talking about this.
It's also a consent thing. It's like, hey, could I run this by you? Like, I know you're off to your next thing, but like, and I just so rarely play that card unless it's like, ideally you're in a long car ride home and you can kind of debrief.
Totally. Yeah. Then it's a good thing. I was told before we went on our honeymoon to not try to get a set.
Whoever told you that is a genius.
Yes. He said that it was actually came up in his divorce proceedings. And I was like, note to self. But weirdly enough, every other trip we've taken, I'm like, hey, maybe we'll do I was thinking about picking up a set. And then he goes and checks out a game. And then we write it both off. Like he had an interview with a video game designer, developer company in Hanoi. And I picked up a set in Hanoi. And then we went to France and I was like, I just want to go to France. I don't want to do shows. Yeah. We get to Paris. Will Durst has had a stroke. So I get a text from Emo Phillips saying, are you in Paris? Would you do his set? And I was like, can I do his set? And
my husband's
like, please do. And so
if you can open for Emo Phillips in Paris and not Dayton, Ohio,
Well, no, he wasn't there. He was he was here in LA, and he just texted me and said, "I think you're in Paris."
Oh wow!
And Will Durst has a set he's supposed to do in a couple of days there. Would you want that set?
That's amazing.
It pays like €200, and I was like, "Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that's dinner."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm all for it on vacation. Like, I think I wish I just.
But it's all about consent with your partner for sure.
Exactly. I think I was 3 years in. Yeah, it was 3 years. I've been doing it 11 years, and okay. We got married. Yeah, I was 3 years in, and I was just like in that place of like, just get up every night. Everybody's telling me to get up every night. Well, this is a night. You know,
this is one of those nights. What? By the way, it's so. Is this your first album?
Yeah. This is the first thing I'm ever putting out.
Okay. So everybody, really this publicly. I'm talking with Patrick Hulbert, and you should know is it's Patrick Hulbert is his handle on all the things, and new special and album coming out the 22nd of April here in 2025. And it's called Qualification. Going to be on Amazon, Apple TV, and wherever you listen. And when you listen to albums, feel free to buy them. It's $10. He gets better money if you buy it than just streaming.
Oh, wow. So you're the best. Go.
Yeah.
Can I can you be my manager? No.
No. but I will plug it.
I really appreciate that.
Sure, no worries. What's tell me another particular episode.
Yeah, so what did I send you? I sent bowling balls is good.
Oh wow.
Because bowling balls, we've all bowled. We're sure. All out there. We're putting our fingers in those disgusting holes and we think this is a barbaric sport, right? Is it even a sport or a game? I don't even know.
It's a sport. You got to lift up eight to 14 pounds.
Yeah.
And they do spray the holes, just so you know.
Okay, with sanitizer? Like
the same stuff that they spray the shoes with, pretty sure.
I thought you were going to say the same stuff they grease the lanes with. It's just more wax. I just always thought this is a solid piece of something. I always thought it was marble or stone or something. But you got to watch this episode. It's so fascinating. It's like a 3 or 4 layer process. And inside is this weight that is not symmetrical. It's not uniform. It's designed by computers, I guess.
Right.
But you know how like professional bowlers know how to throw it.
And spin it
and get it to like do that hook at the end.
Yeah,
that's because they are manipulating the weight of it. Like they know how to interact with the ball. Sorry, my phone's going off.
Okay.
So that's because of this structure inside the ball. So that's the middle layer. And this is actually the perfect episode for someone like us or me because it's spherical. The final product is a sphere. And that is perfection in itself.
Sure.
And it's and this one, you see more humans in the footage because there's a lot of like molds and like put this part in this mold. And there's also some lo-fi elements to it. Like there's this one mold that they clamp together with binder clips, you know, like the black binder clips with the silver things. Like I use those things for potato chips. I use them to keep my laundry basket insert in place. I build forts with those things with my kid.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I love that this product is just standing the test of time. Like this thing is
a part of
bringing so much joy.
And then when do they drill the holes in?
Very last. That's what's crazy. It's like this whole process of the weighted middle and then this like polymer middle that makes it round and then it goes in another mold where they inject this other super. This is fun too on how it's made. Oftentimes they'll say, and this is a what's the word, like secret, high priority. It's an industry secret what this material is, but they inject this special polymer for the outer layer, which also I never realized. I always thought bowling alleys were meant to be totally frictionless, like, but the polymer on the outside of a ball actually is meant to grip it a little bit to get that hook at the end.
Yeah.
So that's like this other layer and then it gets buffed. And that's my favorite part of any of this stuff, to see something get sanded and then buffed. That's just,
and now it's shiny.
Yeah. like, I understand, like, I know you trend more clean as a comedian, but we're all aware of, like, this myth. I don't know if it's a myth or not, that there are people out there in the world who want to have coital relations with cars. Like, have you ever heard of people who want to have sex with cars?
Absolutely not. This is it does not surprise me. I saw a terrible the guy who wrote The Road directed his own movie, and I think Cameron Diaz has sex with a windshield of a car.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, there's another one called Titanic or Titanium or something.
It was so disturbing. I literally, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I don't need to see any more of this. But okay, so this is it's a thing.
And what I'm saying is, when I see something being buffed and polished, and I'm not sexually turned on, but I can see how someone would be or could be, like the one in a million person whose brain just got wires crossed where they're like, I need that. Like, right.
I need to fondle that bowling ball in some way, shape, or form because of how beautiful it is.
Yeah. And then how hard for that person when they then drill holes in it and they're just like, I need that thing.
Well, you can drill different size holes. Right. It depends where you're coming from.
Right.
And so that's ridiculous.
So they sand and buff and polish.
Right.
They put the logo on. I love a stamp, a heated stamp where they're melting a logo into something.
Okay.
Woodworkers do that too. They're basically branding it.
Does that affect the spin though? If it's got a brand on it?
I guess it must.
I mean, if it's not quite as smooth. Yeah.
So then they'll drill the holes. It's kind of the perfect segment for a newbie.
Because
it's got both elements. It's like, it is an assembly line, but there are artisans who know what they're doing.
Right. And you're actually watching, because I have no idea. It's a bowling ball, right? I would imagine it would be a giant marble.
Yeah.
And then how can you drill holes in it? You're just going to crack that marble, because marbles, you know, you got an Aggie or... Ooh, have you seen an episode where they make marbles?
There's a beautiful episode where they make marbles. I never plugged my laptop in. I just have a little wire over here.
Okay. This is an exciting episode of The Dork Forest where we briefly have to step away just to make sure that the whole thing doesn't fall apart. And
I thought I would just like go to the end when it says you have 5% left. Right. But
you know, I'm so glad you did, because this is Riverside, and if you go away before it's all uploaded, it's all sad.
Oh, God.
So good for you for plugging it in.
Yeah. Do I need to do anything on my end? I've only done a Riverside thing once before.
No. Just when we're done, you'll just hang out till it's fully uploaded.
Okay.
There you go.
Amazing.
Do you want to tell me about other episodes, or should I ask the next
thing? I could just tell you the next thing that actually in relation to bowling balls and the machinery episodes where it's like all machines, there are episodes where you see these really expert people making specific things. And I sent you one about speed skates.
Okay.
I also proposed to you that we talk about rollerblading.
Right.
Which they don't. I couldn't find an episode where they make rollerblades except for this speed skate episode. It's speed rollerblades.
Speed rollerblades, not ice.
Exactly. Well, okay. I think this company does both.
Okay.
But this segment is kind of crazy because it involves a lot of carbon fiber. And I don't know if you've ever seen somebody do work on a car with fiberglass where they like soak the fiberglass
and then bend
in resin. Yeah, fiberglass starts out as soft sheets, like they kind of look like quilted, like a quilt, like picture your quilt on your bed, but it's just actual fiberglass. What they do is they dump liquid resin into it, which is basically a really high-powered glue.
Okay.
And then they shape that wet quilt over whatever they're fixing or covering or whatever.
Right.
And then that hardens, and then they manipulate that with like sanding or buffing or whatever.
Yeah.
And this speed skate episode is like an incredible process involving that on a small scale with like carbon fiber cloth.
Okay.
And this episode's cool because it's like they make custom speed skates for professional racers. So that involves them putting their foot in a big container and then dumping latex in there to get the shape of their foot. And then they take their foot out and they fill the latex hole with like the plaster Paris or whatever. That's an amazing process too. Every time it comes up in how it's made, I always pay extra attention. Is like, how do these three stage molds work? Because like they have to, it's hard to explain. It's like they have to make a mold of the thing, and then they make the reverse
of somebody's
of that
foot
thing. Yeah,
and then they somehow turn it inside out or something.
Yeah, well, then you've got a foot statue, basically.
Right.
And then they smooth that out. They, like, fix any imperfections on that. They put that in a bucket and then put the latex around that, the liquid latex that then hardens.
Okay.
What is...
Right. Well,
it's hard
recount
this.
Do they have to cut it to get it off the person's foot?
I think they did.
And then they put it back together.
Yeah, I've lost the plot with this specific thing, because what happens is they end up taking this foot statue, and that's when they're laying layers of carbon fiber over it.
Okay.
With resin to then they're basically creating a boot that will fit that person's foot perfectly.
Right.
And it's just crazy like how precise of a process it is.
Right.
When it's...
Is there that
very
much money
organic
in
shape
in rollerblade racing? Like this sounds very expensive.
Well, I guess there's probably not money in the sport itself, but there's money in the bank accounts of the people who want very fancy skates to bring to their
event. Yes.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So people are willing to spend $1,000 on a pair of the nicest boots in the world.
Yeah.
And well, I hope they can stand up.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it might be like Olympic. I guess it's probably like Olympic level.
Level, yeah. But I don't think it's in the Olympics, but I think that there is. Is there rollerblading in the Olympics?
Well, the chassis on these skates in this episode, they can slide out the wheels and slide on a blade.
Ooh.
So, like, it must be an ice speed skating company.
You know what? There is, here's what I know, is that to train for ice skating in the summer, people do use rollerblades.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's like that. And then they just slide off and they trade out wheels for blades.
Yeah, it could be. Now I want to know, how is any of this getting paid for, like in the Olympics? Like, because they're all such expensive sports. Like, do each country's respective governments have budgets to, like, get these people to the games and stuff?
I think, I think that's just grants, and it's one of those, you know, like, remember when the U.S. and the Russians used to just get all mad at each other, and they're,
right,
like, it's just gonna be us and them. And I saw, you ever see the musical Chess?
No.
Anyway, it's the fascinating world of chess,
so,
done with a musical.
What if Doge comes for the Olympic budgets? Are we gonna...
Oh, they will. I mean, for sure. I mean, I imagine that they're rolling the bodies in the VA right now for gold teeth.
Yeah, totally.
So it's not, these are not charming
people.
That
would be a decent episode of How It's Made, though.
What?
How we farmed, like precious metals out of army corpses.
Oh, here's the thing. Now, your wife, as a death doula, two episodes ago, or last, it might have been last week, TJ Ford, was talking about how she wants to be composted. That's how she wants to go. And what happens is you can go and sit with your loved one who's in a big barrel.
Yeah.
And you can, it takes a couple of months. And then when you are composted, they pull out like the hip and the metal and the, you know, whatever is not real. And then they give you that.
Yeah.
And then they also give you a handful of dirt.
Yeah. I would love to hang like a titanium knee replacement on my rear view mirror and just say, that's my mother-in-law.
I don't want any part of that. I'm good. And I don't know what I want being done. My father always makes a horrible joke about how he would like a bone shoved up his butt and then have a dog drag him into the woods. And he hates dogs. So I don't understand how that's something.
Your dad, by the way, mm-hmm. I think is like me, because I think it's one of your closer on your album about how impressed, how happy he is about the cement truck job.
Oh, he loves
that. Yes. When I listen to that, mm-hmm. I'm on his side, because I am like,
it's the truck that spins.
A cement truck is great. What's better? I mean, that thing is just driving around spinning.
He loves that truck, but the one that he really loves is this one that has an arm attached to it that has you work the arm like a robot arm kind of, but it's also a hose. But it's solid. It's not a wiggly hose.
Oh, it injects yes. the cement. Yes.
And he's like, that is what John's son runs. He doesn't just drive the spin. And I was like, we still talking about this? All right. And
I don't know what time zone he's in. I think you should check with him to see if he watches How It's Made. And I think he does. I think your dad watches it.
He only has regular TV. Uh-huh. And so, matter of fact, the other day I watched The Rifleman, because he was talking about how much he likes The Rifleman, because he watches Me TV and this uh-huh. TV, and it's all old TV shows. And then he watches a lot of PBS, because it has more documentary kind of stuff. And he does like stuff where they make things it's more interesting. So it breaks it up.
Yeah.
Him watching for the 30th time. I sent him the first season of Arrested Development because I sent, for his birthday, he turned 88 last week. I sent him
wait, what's his birthday?
It's a real good question.
It's not March 20th, is it?
No, it is. Okay. It's April 29th, I think.
Okay. Well, right. Must have been March 29th.
March 29th, because right? we're in April. Yeah. March, April. Yeah, March 29th. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, sure.
I'm just a March birthday, so.
Well, he always says he has no idea when my birthday is. He's pretty sure. But, and he always, his excuse is like, it's not my birthday. It's the anniversary of my birth. And I'm like, all right. Did you want a treat? Did you want a card or anything? So.
He likes semantics.
Very much so, but a little pedantic. So you like to go rollerblading, but do you have just, yes. like you bought rollerblades? You haven't done a fancy rollerblade.
No. I probably had 10 or 15 pairs of rollerblades in my childhood.
Okay.
Because when you're an aggressive rollerblader, that's the sport where you see people going down handrails and grinding and doing crazy stuff. You just absolutely shred them. So you have to get a new pair every
year or whatever. They just get
beat up. Yeah. And I thought it would be an interesting segment to come on and talk about it and just come out in defense publicly of rollerblading, because rollerbladers from day one, I think I'm 44, and I was trying to figure out, when did I start blading? And it was probably sixth grade, so I was probably about 11 or 12.
Right.
When I fell in love. And I grew up, before that, I was a skateboarder. But okay. I got rollerblades. I just fell in love with it. I felt like I could fly. I loved going fast. It was like exhilarating.
Is there just more versatility because you have two? It's not just a board?
It's part of why people make fun of it. It is just straight up easier. Like skateboarding is an amazing skill. Like that's the other half of my Instagram algorithm is skateboarding videos.
Right, right.
And I never even got that into skateboarding. It's just, I love watching it. It's like amazing.
Yeah. There's some kid from Brazil who I've been watching since she was six.
Oh yeah.
And she's like,
I've probably seen her
15
videos.
Or 16 now. And I'm like, well, you are a very healthy, very beautiful young woman. Congratulations. And and she's also, but you can still see the 6-year-old in her when she hits the trick and she goes, yes.
Yeah,
and
you're like,
there's that kid. There's that kid I've been watching for 10
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think rollerblading, we all know the hack joke about what's the hardest part of being a rollerblader, and it's telling your dad that you're gay. And that's like this like lame thing that's always been.
I am that, you know what that is? That's just a bunch of guys hanging out talking about rollerblading and other guys who can't rollerblade.
Yeah.
That's, I've not heard that joke, but that is pretty hacky. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and I just, yeah, I just was obsessed with it for like some solid years there. Probably probably until I got my driver's license. And then I'm like, well,
now
I
used it as traffic, right? Did you use it as a, and
to, like, get
did
around.
You have a backpack? Cause they're heavy. You have to put them.
No, I mean, I was a latchkey kid, you know? Yeah. So it was like, get home at 2:45 or whatever. And me and my friends, we would just like, if it was rollerblading time of year, like we played a lot of street hockey too. So it was like,
okay.
We would play street hockey, and then we would also build these insane jumps and do
what
crazy
stuff.
What
city did you grow up in, or what state?
Up in New York, Hudson Valley, Ulster County. And yeah, so...
I've driven through it.
Yeah, so... It. I think... I mean, there's a lot of like family of origin reasons of like why I just wanted to be outside the house at all times, you know?
Oh, and of course, being 13.
Yeah.
I spent a good, right behind our house is an alley. We're on an alley, right? So there's a street and an alley, and our alley, and we're right by a high school.
Yeah.
And so every year, the beginning of the season, the beginning of the school year, there's always a new, like 1 to 3 15-year-olds who are just leaned against our garage door, like staring into their phones. And my husband every year goes out and says, yeah, it's cool if you're here. Try not to litter. If you could not litter, that'd be great. And they go, all right. Because we've all been 15. You don't want to go home.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't carry them. I just would put them on and then I'd be on wheels for like hours on end, you know?
Okay.
So
but you never went anywhere with them. Like, you didn't
like hockey games or, I guess I had a duffel bag. I did. Yeah. I did have a big blue duffel bag that I lugged around a bunch of pads. Right.
You would have to have normal shoes. You're not allowed to just skate.
I mean, I actually have a nice pair of skates right now. And I think about that a lot. It's like, how do I integrate this more into my life? Because I need exercise. I'm like really in the worst shape of my life right now. And I'm getting older rapidly. And I've used skates to like go to meetings or whatever. And I'm just like, what do I do on the other end? Like, do I... have some Van slip-ons and a little backpack because it's weird.
Just flip-flops. What do you, how do you, because you got socks on. And maybe it's,
I don't know. I think people think rollerblading is dorky, which I think makes it a possible topic for your show. But I actually think if you like going fast, if you like rollerblading, there's nothing dorky about it. This is me pep-talking myself.
Yeah. And this is the safest space to love whatever you love to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so what is it? Do you ice skate as well?
I do. We actually took our kid for the first time this winter and I blew her mind with my,
you can go backwards.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And,
cause you probably played hockey. Right?
I made the mistake though of being such a typical male. We're renting the skates and the lady says, here, take these, and they're figure skates. And I said, I prefer hockey skates because I go backwards and stuff. And she was like, trust me, these are better. Just take these. And I was like, I really would like some hockey skates. No, it wasn't about the color. It's just the teeth on the front. I'd never used figure skate. The hockey skates are curved on the back and the front. Anyway, long story short, I put on the hockey skates. They were just absolutely shredded with there was no ankle support. Like they would literally, your ankle would just like totally.
Oh, so I had to like, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of a bummer the whole day because I tried lots of different
ways. And you didn't go back and just go, give me the figure skate.
Next time,
just suck it up and go, you are correct. I am so sorry.
I'm thinking about just getting some Craigslist hockey skates. I think I should just own a pair.
You could own. And so is rollerblading a lot like ice skating? Like, are you doing kind of the same pushing off? And
it's the same mechanics. It's the fine... The fine motor skills are much different, I think, because ice is just, there's nothing faster. It's so fast.
Okay. That
the margin of error is much different. Like, I think with, I would compare it to, do you play guitar at all?
No.
Like when you play acoustic guitar, you can really just bash at the string. Like when you want to get loud, you have to play loud.
Right.
Electric guitar, there's so much finesse and like the electronics do the work for you.
Right.
And I think ice skating is similar. Like ice skating, it's, you don't have to try so hard. Whereas
okay.
when it's pavement and, you know, urethane wheels on yeah. rollerblades, you can really, really push really hard and
not go, you're going fast, but it's not anything like it just feels different than ice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere though. It's have you ever come to, because when you go down to Venice Beach, you can rent rollerblades.
Yeah.
And then just, can go up and down the, and it's fun.
There's an amazing mini documentary. I don't know if you've ever seen it, about this guy. I wish I knew the name of it. It was on Vimeo. I watched it like 10 years ago. I bet if you Google like finance guy quits job to rollerblade, it's like a 10-minute film about this probably early 60s-year-old guy who realized he's like, I wasted my life. I didn't do what I wanted to do. And all I want to do is rollerblade. And it's just this beautiful footage of him going up and down Venice Beach on blades. And it's like so inspiring.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yes. Just be in your body, doing the thing you love, go fast, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a big recommendation.
Patrick, it has been an hour, just so you know.
I love
it. And we did it. We dorked out about many different things. I actually kind of want to see the bowling ball one, so I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, please.
And everybody, it's Patrick Holbert. It's H-O-L-B-E-R-T. And it's Patrick Holbert on all the things. And it's called Qualification. And it's coming out April 22nd. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, Jackie. This is so cool. And it's such an honor to get to know you better. You're literally in my top of them all. So thank you very much.
Appreciate that. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?